Hello, and welcome back to Vi Sikahema's favorite guilty pleasure, Legends of Philadelphia. These are your hosts. I'm Johnny Zip-Zap Zito. Zip-Zap. And this is my casual acquaintance and business partner, Tony the Toadalong Toucan.
No, the Toodalooing Toucan.
You the know Toodalooing it. You Toucan.
All, you call him that all the time.
I guess I didn't. I've never seen it spelled out. Maybe I just never seen it spelled out. I never really thought of it having so many O's. Tony the Toodalooing Toucan Trove, a.k.a. T Gangsta, a.k.a. Captain Jesse T. He's giving away all your smuggler names.
All my burner account names.
Helping out on engineering duties is Brian Cool, nicknamed Beerman. So you gave yourself a literal cool nickname. I see.
The coolest one.
You might be wondering, will the William Penn statue ever find true love? Well, in addition to being born and raised in Philadelphia, T-Gangster and I have a lifestyle brand, South Fleeny, that focuses on Philly culture and in-jokes and comfort and podcasts and getting things wrong. A lot of fake news here. Lots of times customers will ask, can I climb up your grease pole? Or they want to know our thoughts about pretzel salt being more valuable than gold. So we decided to start this podcast as an easy explainer for the new Philadelphians and a refresher for the old heads. The city fascinates us and excites us, so we're hoping to share that with you.
That was great, Zito.
Thanks.
You should do it more often.
Well, I had some practice. This is a second draft, I think.
I'm sorry, everyone, that we had a skip week. It wasn't on purpose. It was an overwhelming week. But we're back. That's why the jokes are 2 weeks old, but we'll deliver them like they're new.
You'll wonder why the timing isn't better since we rehearsed this technically.
Usually we do like three or four drafts, but this one is five drafts.
I always say the fifth draft. That's where you want. That's your published
draft.
That's
the sweet spot. It's the sweet spot. Well, there's just technical failures. There was all kinds of human errors, and I even I actually had to go to the doctor for my acid reflux, and also my dog had to go to the doctor, to the vet for a similar thing, and we were both prescribed the same medicine. You don't want me to retell this to everybody because he thinks it's so funny. So, yes, either I am taking dog medicine or my dog is taking human medicine. And I guess all this, as I talk about, making me admit it to everyone. As I asked everyone to suggest fried foods to me, please stop suggesting fried foods to me because it's the cause of the
it's
dirt.
Your fault. It's you, fam.
As I've mentioned, I overdo it when we do talk about anything on the show. If it's basketball or pretzels or fried things, I will overdo it, and it caused me about a week of pain. So,
and your dog.
And ham.
Ham throughout me and ham.
I learned it from watching you.
He doesn't eat fried foods, but we just have this. What's it called? It's called, you know the name of the medicine.
Prilosec?
Prilosec. Prilosec, yeah.
They advertise that on in front of Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. It's
like Centrum Silver.
The vet was like, yeah, your dog needs Prilosec. I was like, my doctor just prescribed this to me as well. And
he told you to stop eating dog food.
Stop eating dog food. Yep. Enough of the Chicken King.
Joe, I just got to put it in like peanut butter so Trove will take it.
Oh my God. So do you guys take it at the same time? You guys take it together?
Yeah, one for me, one for you.
Enough about me.
Well, we
Ham's got the problem. Ham just eats whatever he wants.
Ham's fault.
He thinks he can just eat spicy foods at late at night and then go to the halal cart and be like, yo, give me the spiciest you got. and then call the Thai food place and be like,
yeah, what was Ham thinking?
Thai hot.
Yeah, what a
pad Thai, Thai hot. Why was it's called pad Thai? It's called Thai hot. Give it to me.
And then Ham went on his podcast and he told everybody to recommend good fried food for him.
And then some listeners do, and then you try them. And
he's a bad dog.
This episode is sponsored by Prilosec. And
no, this episode is...
Don't overdo it, folks. Don't overdo things.
No.
Don't like things too much. Is it my fault for being romantic about these things?
You,
You're a little too romantic, though, apparently.
You made a mistake. We all make mistakes. That's what this episode is about.
I make this mistake every year.
That was an error and omission.
That was it.
So we're doing things a little different this week. This is our skip week where we take a break from the regular format. One of the most fun things about doing Legends of Philadelphia are all the great comments, emails, direct messages we get on the social medias. Listeners clued us in when we were wrong and shared new stuff with us that we didn't know before. So today, we're going to dig through the last 10 episodes and talk about what's next. Do you guys have a favorite episode from the last 10? Do you guys, anyone that sticks out to you?
The David Bowie one was fun. That was fun.
The pretzel one, because I really overdid it on the pretzels after that.
Yeah, we can't have we finally
no more food episodes. But the food episodes are my favorite ones.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Someone finally gave us food, and now we got to stop because you keep eating.
No. I'm gonna take Prilosec, and it's been working. So we're gonna. Thank you for listening. Duck extra hot.
They're not established. They're not listening.
They're not listening. It's been established. You get my messages.
This episode is not
Circles
sponsored by Circles Thai or Prilosec or Sankey, but it is sponsored by South Fellini, open Thursday through Sundays, 12 to 5. Swing by, check us out.
Oh, featured in a feature film.
Oh, yeah.
By Adam Sandler, The Hustle.
Look for our t-shirts
hustle,
in The Hustle.
About a disco maniac. Who gives it all up to play basketball? Do, 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 do. Starring Johnny Zito.
No.
T-shirt. Featuring Tony Trove. It's hot.
Yeah, look for us. Go watch Hustle
on Netflix.
Yeah,
we haven't seen it, so we'll be
unless
watching
it. Unless it's bad.
Wednesday.
Unless it's bad, then we had nothing to do
bad.
With it. Don't blame us.
I'm telling you, it's going to be like, he's like a loser, and he wears like, like our clothes. And then he gets like good, and he's like, ah.
Yeah, then he'll put on a suit. Then he'll like.
All right, suit.
So it's on Netflix. It's Adam Sandler and LeBron James, right?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not about a disco person. It's about basketball.
Yeah, he gives up disco to play basketball.
I thought this was about a jeweler. I thought it was about Jeweler's Row. I'm a little behind on my Adam Sandler movies.
No, he's got a magic remote. He's got a magic remote. He can pause time.
It's him and his twin sister, and they own a jewelry store, right? But he plays both him and his twin sister.
And there's a talking goat. No, we love Adam Sandler.
If you're listening to this after you've seen it, then I guess you know we haven't seen it. But if you haven't seen it yet, then we know exactly what we're talking about, and you should check it out. Okay, our first topic after our 100th episode, we did our big 100th episode spectacular, and then we came back with David Bowie at the Tower Theater in 1974. And that was a fun episode. Bierman said it was his favorite. Bierman, do you have any corrections or errors for this one?
Oh, yes, I do. Dick, I said it was the Mike Douglas show, but it was Dick Cavett's show. David Bowie was on. So I was wrong about that. And then Jeffrey Mitchell, a listener on Twitter, sent me the bootleg of the Spectrum David Bowie show that was a few months later and how he changed the songs up for that tour.
How did people make that? Did people bring in like reel-to-reels and make those bootlegs back then?
I guess so. Yeah, in a big coat.
Big coat.
What did it sound like? Was it legible? Could you?
It was more. It wasn't like it was someone in the audience, but it was definitely more disco-y and more soul versions of the songs. It was very
maybe
cool.
Some of those songs will be in the Hustle movie.
Yes,
that would make sense.
The disco movie,
Adam Sandler's new disco movie, starring Canteen Boy.
No one's going to watch the movie if they don't know. You're trying to... Aren't
there
you?
No one's going
to...
Look, I can't help it. The podcast's about being wrong. You just have
but
to...
But that don't mean we get... No, this is the one where we're right, though. We can't get this one wrong.
Well, I don't know if it's not about that. And there might be a plot twist or something, too. You don't know.
There might be.
There might be.
No spoilers.
If you told me, I mean, Silver Linings Playbook didn't look like it was going to be about ballroom dancing, and it was. So we might be telling the truth. You can never tell.
Yeah,
you can never tell.
Yeah, you can never tell. You can never tell.
KBron19 says her mother-in-law was at one of those Tower Theater shows to see David Bowie. Quote, my mother-in-law attended one of the concerts. Her copy of the record is a well-worn and coveted family heirloom. It was deaf used to pass the love of Bowie down to my boyfriend and sister-in-law. And by extension, now me. Old school, smiley emoji face, end quote. Nice. We talked a lot about that album and how it's an assemblage of different nights. So
I like that you read the emoji. And I'm sure if you're a listener, you'd probably notice that Zito does that. And I think that's funny.
I think it's funny. I think it's intention. It's part of transcribing it. I think I heard somebody on the news do it one time. And,
so please send some eggplants. And peaches.
During the Bowie episode, most people in the comments were distracted by my use of the term mommy to refer to my dog Ziggy Mom, as I call her. And so we got a lot of comments on this, actually. Heather Marie recalls, quote, my first South Philly landlord many years ago, an Irish cop, enthusiastically called our male dog mommy. It was an interesting introduction to the culture. Crying smiley face emoji, end quote.
I never heard this before this.
I didn't realize it was a thing until we did the Hoagie Mouth episode and Shelley pointed it out to us. And I mentioned this to you guys before, and it's a little bit of to explain. There was a video, it was someone's like Ring camera of Johnny Doc's nephew's house getting raided by a SWAT team, and the dude in the middle of the night, and the Johnny Doc's nephew comes out in his robe, and his wife comes out in her robe, and they're screaming, and their dog runs out, and the wife goes, "All right, mommy, get in." And it's like this intense video of a SWAT team in South Philly doing this thing, and it's like on someone's Ring camera, and just the casual little, "All right, mommy, get in the house." Calling the dog mommy. It's just so. It's a funny one.
I guess it is just a Philly thing. Raya Rivera says they don't do it in other cities. Quote, listening now and ma, mom, mommy is such a Philly thing. My mom and dad used to call me those names and I call my kids all variations of it. And people in Kentucky always ask me, what's that about? Woman shrugging emoji, end quote.
You forgot this crying. There's another crying smiley face.
Oh, and a crying smiley face, end quote. Yeah,
see,
you're right.
People knew that was wrong.
The hell
was
this
a misquote.
About?
It was a misquote.
Misquote.
We're gonna get a reputation.
We already do. We have such a reputation. We have to, every 10 episodes. We have to be like, this is how wrong we were. We have to do an episode. We don't want to do these.
It takes a big person to admit they're wrong. Yeah. So we're huge.
We're really big.
We're huge.
Next up, we covered Best, Worst, Always Sunny in Philadelphia Side Hustles. We did a retrospective on the series covering Rob McElhenney's Philly origins, and we talked about some of our favorite episodes.
For this one, I called Good Day Philadelphia, Good Morning Philadelphia. But me and both of you have independently been on the show, and none of us knew what the name of the show was. I was on twice.
I call it the Mike Jerick Show.
So does Mike Jerick.
Mike Jerick. I guess I don't call it anything because in reality I don't watch any of these shows.
I literally call it the local Fox Morning Show. Yeah, I know they all have local morning broadcasts, but the Fox local broadcast tries to make it like Good Morning America. It tries to make it like, you know, they got that window to the street and they're doing
people banging on the glass.
People banging on the glass.
People pressing hams on the glass.
That's why they didn't invite us back. We couldn't get the name right.
I always remember how fast everyone talked when we got there.
Yeah, they rush you in and out. I think we were there on the same morning as a guy shot his wife at a Wawa, and it was like the lead story. And they were like, "That's tragic. That's tragic." All right, back to you in the studio. And he's like, "Coming up next, two silly assholes in their t-shirts."
These two schmucks.
Local silly asses act like silly asses. Up next. How do you come up with your ideas, John? When are you guys open?
And they talk real fast because they have to make those kinds of transitions, I guess. They have to go from like terrible violent crime to local human interest.
They just get like super revved up super early in the morning and just go just pound it out. Just beat them off.
Yeah.
Just beat them.
And they're on for hours.
Plow through it. That's what I'm trying to say. Plow through it.
They're on for hours. They have to go. They do it so fast, they have to do it over and over again.
It's so hard for me to be on for 45 minutes for you two.
Once a week.
Once a week.
From home.
From home. From my own home.
Your rider is getting longer and longer. All the green M&Ms we're sending to you for your dressing room, it's getting tedious.
Just keep them coming, all right?
This guy thinks he's Rod Stewart. He thinks he's our pal Strange Dove loved our ad for the shop that week where we did... where we did some soft talking, quote, "Thank you for making me laugh so hard on the subway with your NPR voices," end quote. And I think our NPR voices are very accurate. I think they're very good. We could be on Car Talk. We could be on.
Me and Zito were interviewed on WHYY one time, and we went in and told them that we're from South Philly and we're really loud, and they made us put headphones on, and they made our own voices super loud in our own microphones, in our own headphones. So when we talked, we would kind of just talk like this really softly. And that's how they and that's how they force you to have the NPR voice. See, I have it as minimum on mine so I can scream and get hype for the podcast. And NPR, they do the opposite. They don't want no loud mouths.
They're afraid yelling of the real Tony T.
Don't spit into the microphone. Like, I brought my own mic.
My own windscreen.
I have my own windscreen, yeah.
Yeah, NPR, that's the trick. That's how they get everybody to talk like that. They turn them up real loud in their headphones. Whereas we muted each other here, so we're just talking over each other all the time. Turn ourselves up real loud, yeah. After that, we did an episode on the Philly Fanatic, the greatest mascot in history. Although not everyone agreed with us, Jolie Miller stands a different fuzzy fanatic. Quote, "I'm sorry, I'm of the unpopular opinion that Gritty is king," end quote. So
Damn.
Some people disagree with the assessment that, that the Fanatic is tops. Gritty has stolen a lot of people's hearts.
He hasn't been here long enough.
He hasn't put in the time. He could still move back to the burbs. He could still move out of state back to his parents' house or something.
Yeah, he's just a renter, right, Zito? You never know how long he's stick around. He might move back home.
He might get traded.
He might get traded.
The Flyers organization doesn't really have much going for him right now. They have to rely on the popularity of Gritty. I think he could write his own ticket. They have him signed and locked up.
I said they gotta put him on the ice, dude.
Put him in the
Make him a wing. He's a wing this game.
Do you know Chris Terry? And he's an old Flyer. I follow him on Facebook, and all he does is talk shit on Gritty. And he's like, the team's mascot shouldn't be the face of the team. he's so salty about it. It's like, I care.
That's all we got.
That's all we got.
R-Lynn3101 managed to access a repressed childhood memory. Quote, when I was 5, my parents paid to have the Fanatic come to my family birthday party. My cousin and I were so scared of him that we locked ourselves in the bathroom. They had to remove the door from the hinges to let us out. Money well spent, .. End quote.
Do you think it was the real Fanatic or it was like a ripoff?
Was it the Frenetic? Was it an off-brand Fanatic? I don't know. That's a good question. I think it sounds like Arlen's family loved her, so they probably sprung for the real thing. They probably got her the name brand Fanatic. And they were so scared they locked themselves in the bathroom and wouldn't come out. They couldn't get them to unlock the door.
You can imagine
inside.
How loud little girls were screaming. Like, you could just tell how loud that probably was.
And what a great job they thought they had done up until the moment where the kids saw the Fanatic. They were like, oh, she's going to love this. This is going to be great. This is the best birthday present for a kid ever.
I wonder if it was a surprise or the buildup was so overwhelming that when it happened, it was scary.
It was terrifying, right? Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or was it like, guess who's here? It's a monster. And it's like, ah. Or it's the Fanatic's coming. The Fanatic's coming. You know what I mean?
Like, they overestimated her her understanding of what the Fanatic was and how it could be in real life. Or
yes.
Traumatizing regardless. So, good story, Arlen.
But funny now. The best kind of trauma. The trauma
the best
that's
kind of trauma.
It built character. That definitely is the thing that...
Would you say it builds character?
Yeah, I'm saying something you appreciate as an adult. It's like, ah, that made me who I am today, you know?
I thought
the Fanatic was going to eat me.
Some people couldn't believe that the Fanatic is supposed to be a bird. It seemed to shock and upset some people that he wasn't just a weird Muppet monster, that he had a backstory. We got a lot of comments from people who also thought that the 30 Rock origin of the Fanatic being a sea creature trapped on land by the Philadelphia organization in order to prevent his daughter from marrying a sea monster or something, that was his actual backstory. But that's just something they made up for TV. It's not the real thing.
That's not real. Where's the real Fanatic?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's just for TV. You can't believe everything you see on TV.
Somebody left a comment about throwing the snowballs at Santa Claus, and they were like, yeah, it wasn't even real Santa Claus. And it's like, yeah, I know, man.
Right. Continuing our sports theme, we went on to do an episode on the USFL Stars, Philadelphia's winningest football team. And I looked them up last week. I didn't look them up this week, but they were 3-3 last week. Hopefully they're 4-3 and not 3-4 this week.
Did they have fun?
Yeah, they look like they're having fun out there.
Then that's all that matters.
Despite their great record in the 80s and two championship titles, there wasn't much love for Philly's forgotten football heroes. Fortino Fabrications remembers, quote, I absolutely love the Philadelphia Stars. Miles Tenenbaum was a Central High School alum, and that's why the colors were red and gold. It answers that. We talked about why.
I just thought they liked McDonald's.
Yeah, that's the only thing that came to mind, to be honest. I watched every single game they played, partly because of that. They were from Central. They had the Central colors. And also, they had a significant number of Penn State graduates on the team, including Chuck Fusina, who we talked about. I was so disappointed that no one went on Broad Street when they did win the championship. Like, absolutely nothing happened, not even a horn honk, end quote.
That's sad.
That's disappointing. The city had a championship team in this new league, and rather than embrace it, they could give a rat's ass.
Now we'd kill for a championship team.
Now we'd kill.
Bring back the Blazers. Bring back the forgotten hockey team.
Now's their time to strike. The Flyers are so at the bottom, you know, and they can pull them down and reemerge.
Maybe they can strike a deal when Gritty goes free agent and scoop him up. That would really solidify the franchise. One of the things I like about the Stars.
I heard Gritty lived in Collingswood.
One of the things I like about the Stars is that they have a weird mascot. I think its name is Blob. It's a big red thing with horns.
It doesn't have any movement to it. I know that's like something you mentioned, that like what makes Gritty and Fnatic kind of exceptional mascots, it's because they have like these moving parts to their like faces, and Blob doesn't, when you think it should.
Yeah, Blob definitely should have more jiggle to it. He should jiggle more.
More jiggle. Let us help. Sign us up.
Yeah, reach out, Stars. Out. We're paying attention. I don't know who else is. We're watching.
We got glue guns. We got puffy glue paint.
let's give the mascot GERD. He should have GERD.
Have you ever thought about Prilosec as a sponsor? It's relatable.
He can't eat that. Blob can't eat late at night.
No more.
Actually, maybe we could hook up Blob with Prilosec. It sounds like Blob would be more effective mascot for Prilosec than a football team. I mean, you expect the football players to be in shape. The guys who need Prilosec are the ones who are eating too much.
Look, you could be in shape and still have acid reflux, John.
Another forgotten Philly sport was Double Dare. It
sport.
Made for a great episode.
Sport.
More sports.
It is a sport.
Yeah, not a game. Lots
of
people.
Yeah, I mean, you made those rules about what a sport is through the chess episode, so.
Well,
by definition, the
trivia part is a game, but the physical challenge is a sport.
It's like one of those Olympic sports that has shooting and skiing. These skills might not seem like they work or they should go together, but they are. It's part of the sport.
You got to answer trivia and then look for a flag and a giant grilled cheese sandwich.
Lots of people didn't know the show had such humble beginnings in the city of brotherly love, but we were able to dig up all the disgusting details. Carla Dennison, 77, almost yacked, quote, "This was a great episode.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I listened to it after I'd eaten breakfast. The baked bean story was the stuff of nightmares, sick face emoji, hashtag physical challenge," end quote. A lot of people hit us with the hashtag physical challenge, so I guess it's still going strong out there.
People still take it. Zito was talking about Welcome Freshman was the show he was thinking about.
Welcome.
Oh, Clarissa and Welcome Freshman played each other on Double Dare.
Welcome,
that's right.
Freshman. And then our friend Laura sent me a picture of Mark Summers at Huda Restaurant in Rittenhouse.
What was he eating?
A recent photo?
Yeah. And I knew you were going to ask what he was eating, so I made sure to figure out. He got the brisket sandwich.
Oh, that's what I would get.
Good choice.
If it's good enough for Mark Summers, it's got to be good.
Good enough for me. Enough
maybe
for
they me. Listen. Maybe there's someone who can send us food. Huda, send us
food.
We'll take anything.
We'll take it.
Someone's
we'll
like, they didn't finish these fries. We'll take it.
We'll
make Trove's extra spicy.
I love it. And I'll tell you what. Thanks to our sponsor, Prilosec. I can eat whatever I want anytime I want.
Is it Prilosec OTC?
Honestly, I take the generic version of it.
Ham has the real one though.
Yeah, you get the CVS brand. Ham gets the name.
Hams
brand.
And shorts. Hams and shorts is better.
That's healthcare.
Ham's got like, Ham's got. He's got great healthcare, dude. He worked for it.
It's an HMO. He can go anywhere he wants.
It's an HMO.
He's in the network, man. Scott D. 1361 has unresolved emotions surrounding Double Dare. Quote, I applied for Double Dare when I was a kid. I had the postcard they sent me back turning me down, hanging on my wall for 10 years because I thought it was still cool that they sent me back anything at all. End quote.
Yeah, I would keep that.
Yeah, I think that's a nice heirloom. I think it's cool that they wrote him back at all, that they sent him any kind of rejection letters.
Like, nah. They were like, no. You can't pick a giant booger out of a giant nose. So
your hands are too big. You don't have the knees for it. Meanwhile, Amy's Vintage Decorum had a personal connection. Quote, my husband was on the show. He got to run the obstacle course. They didn't win everything, but he did get a lot. We still have his Double Dare t-shirt around here somewhere.
Nice.
Crying laughing face emoji, end quote.
He won a VCR rewinder.
Missed out on that trip to space camp though. That's the total package. I can't believe that they just have that t-shirt lying around somewhere. It should be hanging in a floating frame.
That's a
or
famous
something.
Shirt. Yeah, that's a legendary shirt. I wonder if Perry has one of them.
Yes, I wonder if Perry Shaw has an authentic Double Dare contestant shirt.
He probably does.
From the original run. Well, if he's out there listening, leave us a comment.
Probably got one.
And Mackleberger recalls, quote, my mom used to do Harvey's hair. Not all the time, just a few times. Not that that helps it make more sense. Harvey was more or less bald, end quote. I mean, there's hair on the sides. He's still got it. You got to keep it trim. You got to.
Mackleberger left another comment before mentioning something from a 94 YSP promo from the 80s called a Louie Louie Parade. And it looked like thousands of people showed up to all play Louie Louie and parade around with the song Louie Louie. And I kind of think we should do it again.
Bring it back.
A huge amount of people.
If you look it up, it's on YouTube. The amount of people showed up to this is unbelievable. I've never heard anyone refer to this.
I did watch the video. It looks like it's a huge parade, and it is everyone just constantly playing Louie Louie, and it looks like it stretches from Broad and Chestnut down to Second and Chestnut, just bodies just jamming the street. No room to breathe or walk. It's definitely a super spreader event, but we should bring
super
it back.
Super spreader event.
Yeah, what would the song be, though, if we did it again?
Oh, that's
you
want to
do Louie Louie?
No, it'd have to be updated. It'd be Wet Ass Pussy, probably. the modern day Louie Louie.
The modern day version of Louie Louie, that's right. The lyrics are almost identical. Next up was my favorite episode of The Last 10, where we discussed Philly's twisted history with pretzel snacks. D. Zachariah 81 remembers twisted. The highway pretzel vendors of his youth, quote, buying a brown paper bag full of delicious soft pretzels for $2 from a shopping cart off of the 676 off-ramp wasn't a safe and sanitary transaction? Blasphemy. We used to do it every weekend. Best part was that you had to get it done before the light turned green, end quote. Yeah, I do remember rushing through intersection transactions, my dad trying to buy a newspaper or buy pretzels or a funny t-shirt from some guy in the middle of the street, and the commotion it causes. Yeah. Philadelphia's a place where you could just stop in the middle of a highway. And it just
to do commerce.
Doing business here. Go around.
Yeah.
Mike Loves Beer lets us know his favorite recess treat. Quote, so many feels on this one. Definitely remember pretzel days at my suburban Catholic school. We would get our pretzels at the Boulevard and Southampton Road by the Armory. My dad kept a bottle of mustard in the car. End quote. That's a guy prepared for any occasion.
Mustard.
Yeah, yeah. Some people have like, like a gun or like,
alcohol,
a baseball bat. If something goes south, it's like, hey, I got mustard in case I need it.
You never know when you're going to need
it. Need a quick hit of mustard. I get it. Spicy mustard.
Tom Mulaney liked our episode but took umbrage with some of our assertions. Quote, I disagree with the concept of a pretzel emoji as a bagel emoji replacement. But still, one of the best streets in Philly going is getting pretzels at Center City Pretzels on Washington Avenue, end quote.
The best.
The best. Also, I want to mention that Sean Dooley, listener and the person who animates all of our cartoons, he showed me a video that the Pretzel Factory, or I'm sorry, the Center City Pretzels, they don't knot them. They don't like tie them into a knot. They actually have a machine that presses them out in the shape of a pretzel. And
what?
That's why they're golden bricks. Yeah.
They're poured. They're not twisted.
Like you know, like a pretzel, like a press cookie, like comes out like the shape of the like.
They have a
machine that, I'm telling you, like it comes out in the in that like little like figure eight. You know.
Does the machine apply the salt too? Are there no human hands interacting with these golden bricks?
No human has ever touched this pretzel. I don't know. I don't know that.
I don't know
part,
how I feel about this. On one hand, it makes me like them
not,
more.
They're not knotted. Yeah.
Not
it kind of makes me like, yeah.
That's why they're golden bricks. That's why they're so like tight and squashed and perfect.
I don't want to forget to mention our friends at PA General who provided us with all the pretzels that we taste tested on that week's episode. Some people called it ASMR. The sound of us chewing was delightful. I don't know if I agree with
that,
but
who said that?
People left us comments saying that it was like ASMR. ASMR is a good thing, not a bad thing.
It was my burner accounts.
You guys should eat more hot mustards.
Toodaloo and Toucan says, yeah. More mustard.
Toodaloo and Toucan.
We don't know who this is.
So this is a spicy podcast.
Yeah, too spicy. I got to take Prilosec for how spicy this show is. I said...
spicy takes.
I said about the Columbia space shuttle.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Space disaster. And I was right. I know my space disasters.
February 1st, 2003.
No, I wasn't talking about the Challenger. There was other spaceships that blew up, Zito.
No, I...
There are other tragedies. Space tragedies. And I know them all. I know them all. Oh, and also Hunter brought up that the Office has an episode where they all get pretzels.
Pretzel day, yeah.
Pretzel day, free pretzel day.
Yeah. Which is a great day. I would come to work if... We had that.
Stanley loves Pretzel Day. Yeah, it's a good episode. Didn't you, Bierman? Didn't you say you went back to PA General for?
Oh yeah, yeah. I bought a couple bags of the Hammond's pretzels. That's the one that Bush, choked on.
Yeah, George Bush Jr.
You
choked
you, like,
on that.
Live
one.
On the edge.
It has this picture. It has this picture of him falling down and hitting his head on the table. On the
He's
front.
Like coughing.
This almost killed. Yeah. This
almost killed a sitting president.
I want to live on the edge.
It's for thrill seekers. This is the pretzel for the
you got GERD?
Extreme
who cares about that?
Thrill seekers.
Prilosec's nothing compared to me eating. That's like eating glass. I eat whatever. No, those are great though. That's about telling you. They scammed us. They were like, "Oh, we'll sell more pretzels to these three idiots," and it worked because I went back.
We bought more of the pretzel cones. I don't think we talked about them on the episode, but the gift basket came with pretzel cones. And I ate a lot of ice cream, so they came in handy, and we went back and we bought some more.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. First one's free. They're like the pretzel dealers, yeah. You know?
Now that they're hooked, they'll do anything for them.
Yeah, yeah. These Amish playing us like fools.
They weren't Amish. They were Mennonites.
They're Mennonites.
Can't trust them.
Yeah, trust. He was riding a motorcycle. He had a leather jacket on. He had a tattoo. He was listening to Steppenwolf. He thinks there is a place for an organ in a rock and roll band.
That leads us to our next episode. With a little help from our friends, we did another Beatles-centric podcast. After that, focusing on John Lennon's trips to Philadelphia, hosting the Mike Douglas Show, and participating in the three-day-long radio charity event, Helping Hands.
Shout out Mike Vivas's mom met John Lennon.
At that event?
At that event.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Got his autograph, yeah.
Did she get his socks? Is she the one who ended up with his socks?
You know, I don't think she would even admit that if she did.
Try as I could, I still can't find anybody who has the socks. I check eBay. I have a Google alert set up. I'm out there looking for them. If anybody knows, if
you got to post on one of the Beatles message boards, I'll do it.
I only have a foot fetish for the Beatles. Monkey's feet, get out of here. I don't care about this.
I don't care if Peter Nesmith wore these for a week.
Mickey Dolenz, get out of my face.
Does wool hat also have wool socks? I mean, I guess that would, if you had the set, it would be worth it.
Do the carpets match the drapes?
Not a lot of people knew about this little slice of Beatles history. Craig Smith, 1973, regrets missing it. Quote, fantastic episode. I remember hearing about this way back in the mid-80s when I was a kid just getting into the Beatles. A record store owner was talking to me about it and about how he saw and met John Lennon then too. It seemed like the kind of thing that was lost to time or in the hands of a hoarding collector. Awesome to hear you bring it all up, end quote. I just want to mention again, I listened to a lot of a lot of John Lennon's time on the radio for that marathon. It's available on YouTube. You can just search John Lennon Charity Radio Marathon.
This is the most of the Beatles you've ever listened to, and it's not music.
No, it's more Beatles aesthetic.
It's not the aesthetic. Listen to the Beatles. You're like, all right, I'll listen to the Beatles. All right, I'll listen to John Lennon talk on local radio. Like, no,
it's
I meant like Sergeant
Pepper.
It's like
malicious Pepper. Compliance.
I meant Rubber Soul.
It's a loophole.
You're like, I heard John Lennon talk to Ralph Nader for an hour. Like, that's not what I meant. Just not what I meant.
Well, how about when he played music with Chuck Berry and Yoko Ono did her guttural
noises
in the
famously
background.
Hated famously hated performance.
Maybe that's why I kind of
like
get into,
you know,
it.
I kind of like it.
I read on that episode. Read a bunch of Beatles puns, and our friend Tom Reamer came up with a bunch, and he came up with one more. All things must pass, Yunk. It's pretty good.
I see the appeal of it. Just can't stop making.
We've done a pun about every like 241 Beatles songs, so we've done every one.
You even did like some of the solo ones.
You got to do a big.
They did it on Get Back during the Get Back sessions. They did.
You're right. They dipped.
So I don't want to hear any emails from people being like, all things that pass is George's first solo album. It's like, yeah, but he did it in the Beatles, though. They did a demo of it, so don't come at me.
That's coming from one of my burner accounts. Sergeant Pepperoni.
Yeah, which we know it's you. We knew it was you. Someone said came to the store and they said they liked the Beatles episode, so we got to do another Beatles one. And they
Did
also
Ringo
that same person.
Oh, we got to do an Elvis one. We got to do an Elvis one.
We should do it. And then that same person.
That's a good idea.
That same person said that they like when one of us doesn't know what the topic is about, and I was like, yeah, it's usually me. You're talking about me.
One of yous. Yeah, right. One
yeah,
of yous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like a polite way of saying that you're his favorite.
Like, I'm right here. No, but his he likes when I'm like, what? What are you talking about? There's a lot of them.
You're the you're as the rookie, Bierman.
Rookie, yeah, I just moved here. I had my bindle and I got off at the 30th Street Station and I was like, gee whiz, look at this big town. I had a hay in my mouth.
little mouth in the big city, Brian boy.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. I made my own shoes.
We did an episode on the 1983 championship run of the Sixers, but then 3 days later, the 2022 Sixers were eliminated by the Miami Heat, so maybe we just skip that for now. No point in going it in.
Who cares about basketball?
Yeah. We covered Deep Blue versus Garry Kasparov, the chess match that took place in Philly. This 1996 battle between man and machine was a prelude to things like The Matrix and Y2K. But just about all of our comments related to this topic were about the people who had never heard of it.
A computer played chess with a guy. The Matrix didn't happen because of it.
This is all wrapped up in the same anxiety. Like, computers are going to take over. Computers are taking jobs. Robots are going to rule the world. Y2K is coming, and everything's going to shut down. And we're gonna have to go back to living. We're gonna have to make a farm at Marconi Park and eat the zoo animals.
Speaking of, I went to the Giant on that's across from Riverview. It's new on Delaware Ave. I went there, and they it's like. It's like scary, like the
we gotta cross Delaware Avenue.
Well, that's scary too, but then like there's like robot. They have robot things walking around.
Oh, it's that.
And I got
droids.
And they're like security, I guess. And then like there was like a spot. It was like, don't stand here. Robot charging station, and then. And
like, is it going to run right through you?
It's
or?
Like the T-100.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't see it.
It's the first step.
And then all the shopping carts look like Darth Vader helmets. Like, they're, like, black. And, like, it was like, why'd you make them, like, scary looking? And then I was like, I'm getting out of here. And I left in the security. There was, like, a security car. And it was Bronson and security. Like, Charles Bronson from Death Wish.
Death Wish security.
It was like, this is like, I don't like this new, these new scary.
Was it that robot thing from RoboCop?
It shot up everybody.
Shot everybody.
Their bread selection is great.
At 8,000, whatever.
A lot of great bread, though.
Speaking of local things and the Riverview, I read that Bart Blackstein repurchased the Riverview front. And maybe he'll bring the movie theater back.
No, he's gonna make it in the laser tag. It's gonna be a big laser tag area, like back in the day. It's gonna be multiple terrains, and you're gonna be able to play all day.
Mortal Kombat song on repeat.
Do you think there'll be international play of Qzar?
Qzar,
like a tournament of nations.
Champions.
Yeah,
that's a sport. Laser tag's a sport.
Laser tag's a sport. Yeah.
Not like chess, which is a game, I guess.
Just a game.
Yeah.
Mike Loves Beer wrote to say, quote, I laughed so hard at Deep Blue's jersey number, end quote. That was Bierman's binary joke, 01000100. Do people want a Deep Blue jersey? Do people want to be able to root for their favorite robot?
I'm going to get one for myself, so we'll pre-order.
Okay.
You want one?
Oh, I definitely want one now. Yeah, if you have one, I want one.
So I can burn it.
And finally, we told the story of Glenn Hurricane Schwartz, who is truly the most beloved weatherman in the city as he retires this month. Philadelphia
retired.
Knows he's retired. Oh, he
I
retired, right?
It.
Yeah, he was the
it.
Week we came out with that episode.
He took his bow tie off and his head fell off.
His head fell off. Cut the black. And it said the end? ?
Just cut the black. We don't know. Did somebody kill him? Did they live happily ever after?
He made it clear that he was like, I'm just not gonna be on I'm just not gonna be commuting. So it seems like if there's like a big hurricane or something, he'll still like call. I don't know this,
but it's from home probably.
Yeah, it made it sound like he can like still call in.
It's a green screen job. He can do it from any wall in the whole world.
From his garage, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to be it, but if it's like a big storm, then it's like, all right, we'll get Glenn on the case.
If there's a hurricane
in
his
backyard.
They fly
him out, leave the helicopter out.
And he's got a big beard. He's going to have a big beard now.
Yeah, like Letterman. When Letterman,
yeah,
when
Letterman retired. Did anybody watch his last broadcast? Did you guys, did he actually
did.
Take
I
off the bow tie? Did he take
no,
off the bow
didn't.
Tie?
No, he didn't. He didn't.
No, he kept it on. Because he's not he's not really gone. He's thinking
he's not really
back.
Gone. He's never gone.
It's going to be like Tom Brady. He's going to get like 2 months into this, and he's like, actually, psych, I'm coming back.
Actually, I'm back. I'm back now.
Yeah. Philadelphia Closet knows where you can find Glenn when he's not storm tracking. Quote, he lives in my parents' over 55 community now. He's like the neighborhood legend. Clapping hands emoji, end quote.
Nice.
So
there goes Glenn. He's stealing my paper. He's not picking up his dog shit.
Pepper Records brags about their meteorology credentials. Quote, I once did the weather with John Belairs as a kid at my school, end quote.
Nice.
I think my brother went to, my brother did the weather with the, whoever the weather person was on Fox when we were kids, and they did it outside of Mara's restaurant, and someone from Mara's took a photo of the weather person. And my brother's there with the weather person, so my brother's photo was in the window at Mara's from the time when he was like 8 years old. And people would like ask me about it all the time, like, why is your brother in the window at Mara's? Are you guys like family friends? And I was like, no, my brother did the weather with
He's
Fox News
shot.
One day. He's a big shot.
He's a big shot.
And they kept the photo in the window so long that it eventually bleached out completely. The photo no longer exists. It was so sun bleached that, like, you know, first his nose disappeared and then his forehead whited out and then his hair.
Like
it was
back
like
to the
Back
future,
to the Future. Yeah,
yeah
it looks yeah, like he yeah. was like erasing time.
Is Michael okay?
Michael. Who's Michael?
I'm the only son.
He would hate this joke.
Yeah, it's a good thing he doesn't listen to the podcast. He gets enough of me at Sunday dinner. He doesn't listen to the podcast. And we shared an ad that John and Glenn did in which they parodied the show Seinfeld, where John was Seinfeld and Glenn was George Costanza. And a friend of the show and Double Dare legend Steve Pennypacker commented to let us know that he had a hand in that commercial. Quote, I made that Seinfeld restaurant set, crying laughing face emoji. Can I retire now? We
Damn.
Shot that
the,
in EG.
The podcast should just be legends of Steve Pennypacker.
We should get him for a spinoff. We should do a whole series just with him.
Will he edit the show too? He can take over. We can just switch. I'll do his job.
You can clean out the beans at Double Dare.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want to do
he'll
that.
He'll edit the podcast.
I don't want to do that.
Back to the quote. We shot at EJ Stewart's in Primo's. Angie Gordon was the producer, and her production company handled the gig. We did the whole diner set a few times, end quote. So
that's
it's such a good set. I thought they – I said to Bierman, I was like, I can't believe they went out to L.A. and shot on the Seinfeld set. And Bierman thought they went up to New York and shot at the actual Tom's Diner because there were, like, subtle differences with the...
I knew was the chips were on the chips weren't in the right place.
Right, because they're usually on the register, and they were in the counter behind...
That's how much Seinfeld Glenn, yeah. I watch. I was like, wait a second. Excuse me, the chips were never on the diner table like that. They were up where Ruth, the cashier, was. This is ridiculous.
You expect me to believe this?
Totally kills your suspension of disbelief. You're like, how am I supposed to pretend that they're really George and Seinfeld right now? It was a real testament to Steve's skills that we were fooled.
No, it was great. It was awesome looking. That's crazy he did that. And Double Dare. Two things we talked about.
In as many weeks, yeah.
People liked last time... When I mentioned how you can, if you go on Spotify, you can listen to the podcast. If you slow it down, you can listen to it speed up so you can like get through it quicker. If it's like court mandated, which is how we get a lot of our listeners. This is
how most of our listeners come to us.
If you like drink on the L or something, and you get a ticket. This is like you don't have to work in a garden. You can listen to this. But anyway, but you can slow it down also. And I said that makes it funnier. So I'm going to play. I still believe this, so I'm going to play a little bit of, from that episode. This is on Spotify.
All right, cut the shit. Do you think all the weather people hate each other?
No, I think they hang out.
You think they hang out? You think it's the opposite?
I think they hang out. Because no one... you don't know the struggles of a meteorologist, except another meteorologist.
Another meteorologist, yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's true. Probably no one wants to hang out with them because they're always wrong.
It's the only way to, it's the only way to listen to the show now.
You got to slow it down if you want to catch all the Easter eggs we put in there. You got
to be looking for on pills.
We're on Prilosec. We all got it now.
We're on
I'm geeking on Prilosec.
Don't make fun of Prilosec users. People you know might be Prilosec users.
Yeah, you don't know. So don't
and
make
dogs.
Fun of it. And dogs.
And dogs. Yeah, you got to be careful.
And dogs.
A lot of our listenership is our dogs, too. We got a lot of dog listeners.
Dogs.
We're syndicated on Dog TV. We reached out to you guys on Instagram and said we'd answer your questions. So, and you put them to us. So we have a few listener questions this week on this skip week episode.
Nice.
Yeah, I wanted to go through. Some of these are pretty good. Tom B. with a View podcast asks, what is your favorite Philadelphia cemetery?
Cemetery.
That's a good one, right?
Somebody I know, his mom said that there was ghosts in the one that's near Frankfurt Terminal, and she saw a ghost there.
Is this that your favorite, or is this where you want to be buried, or the spookiest? I mean, these are...
Just favorite.
He just says favorite. It's a three-word question. Favorite Philadelphia cemetery.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess I have a lot of answers. It's like, what's your favorite kind of jazz?
I can't pick just one cemetery. I love all cemeteries.
Pick the spookiest. Which is the spookiest one?
Well, I guess when I was a kid, I don't know if I ever mentioned this story on the podcast. There was a legend that there was a haunted grave, Purdy, at that cemetery that's in the middle of like Girard Estate, and it's a non-Catholic cemetery. I think it's on 18th and Wolf, right? And it was like Purdy, and it was like you spit on the grave and you run out of the cemetery, and there's like 30 seconds or 20 seconds. Yeah, I mean, I didn't do this, but that was like part of it. I think even the South Philly Review did like a story about this, which probably only encouraged kids to do it more.
Right.
I always thought that was like a spooky graveyard, which is kind of like in the middle of the city. I also think that there was those Civil War cemeteries on Washington Avenue that got dug up. I think that's really spooky.
Yeah. Just like Washington Square Park. That's a mass grave.
That's a mass grave. Yeah. And there's like that really nice cemetery in Roxborough, which I want to be buried there, I guess. No, wait.
So if anybody wants to send flowers.
No, wait. Cremated.
And spread in that cemetery.
Spread in that cemetery. Spread in your drinks.
I'm going to go with Old Swedes. Old Swedes is my favorite one. My wife and I almost got married there, but there was a scheduling conflict.
Too much Dylan. Too much Dylan.
She wasn't goth enough.
We showed up and my fingernails were in paint, and they immediately turned us around and told us to leave.
You can't get married in a
clearly
you're a
cemetery.
Poser. They pointed to the no poser sign.
They were like, there's hardly any scuff marks on these Doc Martens. Uncle Buck on VHS asks, if you had a racehorse, what would you name it?
I named mine Mark.
That's a very specific name.
That's the person who asked the question.
Oh, yeah.
I would name mine Uncle Buck on VHS, I think.
Okay, so then we have from Urban Achiever, what's your favorite free view of the city? Example, on top of the Acme at 2nd and Girard. It's a very specific spot.
That is a good one, actually. That is a good one.
Yeah. I like the view of Center City from 15th, 16th, 17th Street in South Philly. You can look down all the row homes, and then all of the skyscrapers are at the end of that, and it's a pretty good view. And probably the best picture I ever took of the city was Trove and I went up to the top of the parking garage at the old St. Agnes Hospital and took photos of the city in the snow. And it almost made the city look clean. That's how beautiful it was up there. So
almost.
Yeah, I recommend those two spots.
Yeah, actually, they were like, hey, yo, get out of there.
Yeah, they kicked us out.
There's a view of the city from from Camden. I'm not suggesting, but maybe, I don't know. There's a great view of the city from Camden on the waterfront over there, and I've gone over there with a couple different film crews to capture this shot of the city, and it's a good shot of the city.
It looks nice when you're not in it.
Look, it's an establishing shot, and
it's a perfect establishing shot. Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect establishing shot.
I do like the way the city looks from the bridge when they shut it down when the Pope came to town. I rode my bike out there and I hung out at the midpoint of the Ben Franklin Bridge, looking back at the city. It's not an easy one to get to, but I know the early morning joggers, they do the Ben Franklin Bridge, and it's a coming back looking at the city from the Camden side. It is beautiful.
You know what's nice? The trellises, now it's the rail park they made. That's a nice spot.
That is a nice area. Yeah. They're always talking about doing more with that, too. I hope they do.
Pinball.
Ping pong. Get some X-Men arcade games up there. That'll bring the people in.
Come on.
Next question is from Robert Pierce III. What should we do if we come across some of your bootleg merch? That's a great question. You should flip that shit. You should definitely toss that table over. You do your best Jesus in the temple.
Jesus!
Wow.
It's a den of thieves.
And you make a scene. That's what we would prefer.
Scene. Make a scene.
Make a scene. Scene.
Accuse them of having bed bugs. I don't know. There's a bunch of bootlegs on the internet. There's a bunch of bootlegs in these print shops. They're everywhere. We can't control it.
That being said, you know, you should always ask first. We do wholesale out to some of these shops in the suburbs because people can't get down to us. And maybe just double check first.
Don't just say people have bed bugs that you don't.
We brand our shirts now too.
You'll find the South Fellini logo in the collar of all the shirts and the tank tops. And
it's made with their it's got Trove and Zito's blood mixed in with the fibers like Kiss.
Mm-hmm. Like Kiss.
A single hair is woven into every t-shirt. That's what the double stitch is.
That's the double stitch. I try on every shirt, no matter what size.
That's why all the neck holes are stretched out in the extra
neck holes
smalls.
Are all stretched out.
It says Prilosec all over it.
It's got Prilosec.
People open their packages, pills are just falling out.
We'll just advertise it as anti-acid and cozy.
A podcast that focuses on Philly culture and nutrition.
And nutrition. And dog nutrition.
Tom Mullaney asks, what are your favorite iterations of the Sixers and Phillies uniforms? Excellent question.
The not my favorite, but this year the Spectrum ones they did.
Yeah, those were top.
No, they're so nice. They're so cool. Good.
They're very cool.
They're like a retro futurism. They're like like something that I feel like it's old, but it never happened, and it looks like it looks futuristic from the 70s.
It looks like a throwback that never existed.
Never existed from a time that never actually happened.
Yeah, I love it. That was definitely that jumped to the front of my favorite Sixers uniforms. But I really like the 1980s white uniforms. They're similar to the white uniforms that they wear today, but they have the authenticity and kind of a handwritten
with
Sixers
the cursive.
Logo. Yeah, yeah.
The cursive is nice. Yeah. I like when they say Philla. I like that a lot too.
The 2001 the Iverson ones that were blue. The blue.
Oh,
ones.
Those were great.
Yeah, they were.
I always forget about those. Those are great. I have a soft spot for that Iverson era. That look. That is definitely up there for me. I love the gold print.
I like it, but I don't like I like what it is, but I don't like it. I think the black and gold is iconic, but I don't like it. It's not what I like about the Sixers. I guess what I like about Allen Iverson, but it's not what I like about the Sixers.
As far as the Phillies go, I think the white uniforms with the maroon pinstripes are my favorite.
Yeah. Dude, absolutely.
And they have the green under the cap. So it's a maroon Phillies cap, but it's green under the lid. That's my favorite Phillies uniform.
Those are great, with the zipper.
Yeah. And then, I know nobody asked this, but if you haven't seen them, look them up. The ushers and the attendants uniforms from the... Is that the 70s, I guess? They're the 70s uniforms?
70s, yeah. The employees of the vet uniforms.
They look super cool. They're very retro-futuristic.
I always liked that those uniforms had stirrups.
Yes, they did. Just like actual old-school, just like the old baseball pants. Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, I like the Phillies retro-futurism one, too. That cream one with the blue hats. I think it's a sharp
That
uniform.
One is cool.
That is good, too.
All right, next question.
I always remember when I was a kid, the Phillies, when the Phillies wore their blue hats, everybody at school would be like, oh, here they go. They're going to lose because they're wearing the blue hats.
They would lose all the time, yeah. That was their. I was one of those kids.
Kathleen Verzella wants to know, what do we have against Delco?
I actually never been there, so I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I heard it was
all right. I have no animosity, except for I like Jersey, I like Delco, I don't like Bethesda, Maryland, though, and I'm not going to apologize for it.
I'm pretty sure we've said in the past that Delco is where the pretty Philadelphians live as well. So
it's hot. Philadelphia's Hollywood.
You guys said it was the Hollywood of Philadelphia.
So we actually, I guess we really like Delco. We don't have anything against it. What, if any, shirt designs have gotten you all ceased and desisted? This is from Schiffensta 31. That's a good question. Lots of them.
So many.
The one I always remember is years ago we had before we even opened the store, one of the shirts we were selling was a New Jersey Parkway. We just had the online store, and we had a Jersey shirt, a New Jersey Parkway parody shirt, and it said Dirty Jersey, and it said a Parkway, it said Go Away. And, we tried it out. State of New Jersey. We put it out there. We sold a few. It wasn't really hitting for people. So we took it down. And a couple of weeks after we took it down, we got a cease and desist letter from the New Jersey Transit or New Jersey Highway Authority. And they were telling us to cease and desist using the logo, which we had already done. But then we looked it up, and it's not copywritten. It's a logo. It's a government-owned logo. Yeah, you can just do whatever you want with a government-owned logo. They're copyright free.
Like no one liked that T-shirt anyway.
Yeah, we told them nobody wants to go there.
That it was a loss. Take that.
I remember I did a Andy Kaufman T-shirt with the wrestling shirt, and I got a cease and desist from the Kaufman estate. I was really excited about it, actually.
Bob's mood was like, how dare you? Only I can profit off of the memory of Andy Kaufman. A lot of people asked us why we won't do an episode on the zoo. So I guess we have to do an episode on the zoo. There's at least four comments here. When he's going to do a zoo episode, do a zoo episode, you cowards.
You cowards.
And they weren't all for me. One of them was for me, but three of them were real.
Yeah, there's some real ones out here.
See, people want it. I don't get it. It's not funny to me. It's a sore spot in our relationship. I don't think it's funny. You guys think it's hilarious to withhold the zoo episode, even though everyone wants it.
I get off on being withholding. It's just it's not something I can control. I'm working on it, but
no, you're not. If you're working on it, you let me do the zoo episode.
We have other important episodes to get to first.
Well, now when people hear the zoo episode...
What kind of cigarettes does Dick Allen smoke? We're going to get to it.
All of them.
We got a lot of people writing requesting episodes. People want to hear about the neck in South Philly. People want us to do an episode on the boy in the box. We'll probably do that around Christmas time.
What's that? Is that a murder?
It's about like a dead child. Oh. So maybe we should do it for
Why
Halloween.
Why would we do that around Christmas?
So we can ruin everyone's Christmas.
Oh, save it for the horror season.
Yeah.
Some people wrote in about the Jersey Shore. Do you guys have a favorite Jersey Shore town?
I like Wildwood, but this year I want to go to the shore and I want to go somewhere else because I went to Wildwood last year. So where should I go?
I had a lot of fun in Cape May. I really enjoyed Cape May. It might be for old people, but I had a good time.
Sponsored by Prolosec, Ocean City has a lot of great treats, a lot of good things, a lot of things to eat on the Ocean City Boardwalk.
And non-dogs alike.
French fries. They don't only let the French dogs on the boardwalk, but you could pick your dog something up and take it home and share it with them. Only if they're sweet.
I took Ziggy on the boardwalk. I went down after Memorial Day a few years ago, and I took Ziggy on the boardwalk.
Wearing white with your husky.
I was, too. I was breaking all the rules after Labor Day. It was after Labor Day. I got
You had your laser pointer out, pointing at people's faces.
These two, like, teenagers who were, like, wearing cop uniforms came up to me when I was with the dog, and I was like, oh, these guys are going to ask me to go. And they were like, hey, can we have a picture with your dog?
They had cop uniforms?
Hey, mister.
Yeah, they probably weren't actually teenagers, but they looked so young, and they were, like, the security that was left over after Labor Day.
They're police officers.
Instead of kicking me off the boardwalk, they were like, we want a picture with your husky.
These kids in costumes. Oh wait, they're the cops.
Oh, they're actually cops. You guys have anything else you got wrong on in the last 10 episodes that you want to mention?
Oh, I'm sure we did, but no.
That's plenty, right?
I'm sorry for this, everyone.
Okay, that's pretty much all there is to know about everything we left out or got wrong in the last 10 episodes. Please check out our website, www.soutfellini.com. That's SOUTHFELLINI.com for cool Philly-inspired merch. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Follow along and join in the conversation. We want to hear from you. Is there anything you left out? Is there a topic you'd like us to include? Feel free to send us questions. Maybe we'll do this more often. Look out for new episodes of the podcast every Monday. Stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask, and never be afraid to admit you were wrong. Goodbye.
To admit you're wrong, yeah. Be afraid to be wrong.